everyone, and welcome to What We Know. My name is Jake, and I am here with the most amazing co-host I've ever had and ever will have, Sam Delev. How are you doing today?
All the better for being introduced like that and for talking about the game we're going to talk about today, Eat the Reich. Yes, you heard it, Reich. Eat the Reich is a game by Grant Howitt. Eat the Reich is a game by Grant Howitt, brought to you by Rowan, Rook, and Deckard Limited, who have also made games like Die RPG, Spire, The City Must Fall, and Heart, among many others. Does the game sound like it's just a bunch of vampire soldiers who decide to bite Nazis? Oh, good, then they did it right. You are a part of Fang Vampire Soldiers, 1943, and the Allies' final option to win the war against the Nazis by, yes, biting them. If this is an adventure-packed game, it is a condensed one. It is a single scenario game, not a big, long arc. You are there to chew gum and bite Nazis. You're all out of gum. It's built, in fact, on the Havoc system from these same creators that is meant for single session scenarios.
If you couldn't tell by the title itself, is tongue-in-cheek, and it, the overall concept of the game and what it and how it is very, very humorous. It is straightforward. They're not trying to like if you weren't aware that they're making a political statement, and you got the game and you start playing it, I don't know. This is what I really have to ask. How does it feel getting hit by semi-trucks daily? Because you have to be that oblivious to not be aware of like the overall arching concept of this game, which is very heavily laid with the artwork within the game, which is beautiful. Like, it is so meticulously, just like every page is glorious. Like, I love every single page of this book because of the art. It is amazing.
As Jake indicates, this is a really overtly anti-fascist game, and I think it handles that very beautifully and very effectively, talking not only about the politics that inform the game's design, but also providing a lot of safety discussion about what it means to play that kind of game and how to make your table safe while making Nazis feel extremely unsafe. I think the handling of a lot of those both political and safety issues and the awareness of how they intertwine is accomplished very effectively in this game. And as a connoisseur of anti-fascist TTRPGs, I love to see it.
Yeah, it's well put together, and it is right at the front. You know what I mean? They're not trying to hide it. That's why I make the comment about, like, how does it feel getting hit by a bus? Because if you are not aware of this, like, you clearly did not read this book. You know what I mean? It's like someone that has a Punisher logo on their car and supports the police. Like, they do not go hand in hand, you know?
Alas, irony is dead, and you are playing the undead. Specifically, there are about 6 pre-generated characters for this game showcasing that tasty, tasty art style and giving you a pretty great range of options for those characters, from Gothic Socialite to Hal Bat Monstrosity. I love not only their visuals, but also the way that this game presents them as a concept, but also as a playstyle. If you enjoy just like casual Nazi punching, there is a pre-gen targeted specifically for you, Astrid, by the way. If you are interested in social play, you have options for that. And organizing that around the kinds of players who might show up at your table, I found to be really effective. But Jake, what was your experience of reading through and learning this game in preparation for play?
So I will say for player side, it is very easy. It is a very simple concept of how the game works. You have base stats. Those base stats are the number of dice that you use. And then you have a weapon or an item that you associate with that stat when you're using it. And it's got a bonus associated with it. And if you accomplish that bonus, you get additional dice. Like, that's the base system. And that's really all you need to care about. I mean, like, there's some niche rules with, like, how certain items work or, like, how loot works and stuff like that, which, you know, usually the GM is the one that has to, like, really pay attention to, like, if then this rules. I will say, if you are playing the game, we actually had some issues. One of the issues is we didn't want to print the character sheets from the books because the books themselves have beautiful artwork. But instead of printing the printer safe character sheets like we should have, we actually took the printer safe book, or like the text only book, and printed out the character sheets from that, which are different than the print safe character sheets, because one of the key aspects of the game is that whenever you're using an item for the last time, it gets a bonus. And we were playing this and we said, man, we keep forgetting about this rule. It would be really nice if that final box was like different. And we're like, yeah, that'd be really great. Well, it is on the actual character sheet you're supposed to print out, and it's different in the PDF, which is actually editable. Like, it has boxes that you can click on, so you could be playing out of the PDF. The one option we chose.
There were so many possibilities, and yet. But some of that confusion, I think, is characteristic of my experiences of looking through and learning the game. I do really appreciate that they have a black and white version that is printer friendly. But I think Jake and I would both love to see a little more love going to improving the accessibility, particularly when you are doing multiple versions. I'm a bit idiosyncratic. I love being able to access my games through text, and for people with print disabilities who have idiosyncratic workflows, it's very helpful to have multiple formats. And I think some of the font choices, even in the mono, might not be the friendliest, both from a reading perspective and occasionally from a information design perspective, from what I remember, Jake.
Yeah, so I'm dyslexic as all hell. So that was kind of an issue. So even in the text version, there is Gothic font that's used on the character, on the characters at the top, that kind of gives like a brief description of what each character is. I just completely skip those because it's just a pain in the ass to read because I cannot read it. And I get that I'm dyslexic, and I get that, like, I'm not everyone's audience. So like, I just wish that in the text only version, they didn't do that. So that if you're going to make something more accessible, you have it all accessible and not just most of it. The other thing I will say is, while the art is amazing and beautiful, some of the art did take away from the actual educational aspect of trying to learn how to play the game. So what I mean by that is the rule that I'm talking about, where the final time you use an item, it explodes basically, and you get to use the item. It gets more usage or more bonus from it. It is put in text in the very top of the page with bright red with caution tape on the left and right. And so it is clearly like bleep, 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 read. But because every single page is bombastic and wild, it just feels like, oh, that's just going to be story fluff. I don't need that when I'm trying to learn the game. And so you just visually kind of go over it, because it's kind of like artists that work with negative space. Like, if your whole entire thing is negative space, you're now focusing on, you know, the positive space a little bit differently. And so that's what kind of happened with some of the rules. And because they were, even though they were trying to like be like, oh, this is how it is, it's not put in when giving descriptions of how something is used. Like when you're building a dice pool, that rule doesn't pop up in the building a dice pool section. So it's just kind of, you kind of miss some things, which that is kind of like where my biggest gripe with the game comes from, is like, there's that. And the other aspect of it is that if you're going to be playing this game with a group of people that are RP heavy players, this is your game. This is your game. If you're going to be playing with people who are very much, I roll clicky clacky square objects and I kill Nazis, not going to be your, not necessarily going to be the best players for this game. For example, in the game, each of the items have these certain scenarios that you have to meet. One of them is like flanking, which like, okay, mechanically wise, that makes sense. If my character is behind another character, I get a bonus for flanking, right? The issue is that you only have three usages of flanking. And if you flank again, you still can use the gun and use your shoot skill. You just don't get the flanking bonus, which like, mechanically like doesn't make a whole lot of sense, you know, which is very weird. Or like with the sawed-off shotgun, point blank, okay, so I'm point blank, I just don't get a bonus for that. Okay.
And it might seem like harping on some difficulties that might come out in the wash with further study, but in a one-shot focused game like this, you have players who are going to put a comparatively limited amount of time into learning all of the rules, and ideally, your study time to learn the game is roughly proportionate to the amount of game you get out of that learning investment. And so the more obstacles or barriers there are to learning the game, or the more confusion, the tougher it can be in a game that you're not going to get to practice over and over again necessarily. That while you do get to play through two or three locations across the three sections in these maps, ultimately, that's going to be a single gaming adventuring day. And so it would be lovely to see things like cheat sheets or other play aids to make it an easy one-shot experience like this game so very much wants to be.
Yeah, one other thing I would like to like kind of comment on that is that while yes, there's like the flanking bonus that does not reoccur multiple times, there's also things that are very, very loose, like extremely loose. While flanking is very straightforward, there's also something where the bonus is, and I quote, "Hans, are you okay? ? I don't know what the fuck that means.
Hans, if you know, please say whether or not you're okay in the comments.
Yeah. And let us know if Annie is as well. It's just, did you get that? Wow, I was surprised. but so it's like you've got things like flanking and Hans, are you okay in the same character sheet. So it's not even like, oh, well, this character is more made for, you know, straightforward play, while this one has got more relaxed. Like these are things that are very much on the same style character sheet. And so it gets very confusing for some of the players, at least in the experience that I had of like, why is it that I have point blank shot and I have Hans, are you okay? And then they'll have things like with there's a great spear where it says you get a bonus if you have receive a charge. I don't know what that means. But then there's also like a sword, a saber, that its bonus is charge with an exclamation point. But there is no explanation anywhere in the book what receive a charge means or what charge exclamation point is. So it's not even like I, as the GM, when the player has these questions of like, what does this mean? I can't go into the book and go, okay, what does receive a charge mean? Or like maybe give examples of like what they mean by receive a charge, or, you know, like those things would be helpful. Or even giving players, even with Hans, are you okay? Like, I'm fine with fun, like stuff like that being in the game. Like, I think that makes it unique, and I like, and which is what this game is. I just would also like to be able to have things or examples that I can give a player that isn't as, I don't want to say creative, but like isn't as roleplay focused, and being able to be like, oh, here are some examples of what this ability can do. Or let, you know, feel free to expand it from there, but here are some examples. Especially when there is an item that literally has any is the bonus. So like, just give it, just give me a little bit more structure, or the option to have structure in a lot of this. That being
So on the one hand, we have somewhat ambiguous rules and design, and maybe a few hurdles to learning the game, particularly for a short shot. On the other hand, you get to nosh on Hitler.
I don't want to give away the ending, right? Because it is a like, it has replayability. Because like, while each sector, right? You as a Fang member land in sector 3, and you have to go through 2 to 3 sections in sector 3, sector 2, and then sector 1, where you end with the battle with Hitler. While I do not want to give it away, because you can play it multiple times and have different like stories, because you can't hit every section right in a single playthrough. I will say that it has the best and most accurate way Hitler should and would die. I'm just saying it is the best. Also, the bad guy that you fight at the end is also very fun. So,
where do you come down with this game, given that you've had this sort of ambivalent experience with it? Is the aesthetic and the design and the nomming on Nazis worth the investment to really feel solid and comfortable in play here? And the need to have the right group with whom to play it.
Yes. I would play this again. I would run this again. I want to run it with different people to see what it's like. And the fact is that I chose the specific locations that they land, but like allowing players to kind of like choose different locations and seeing like the adventure and how they go about it. There are some small things that I might change, but I'll be honest, there isn't a single game that exists out there that I play in any sort of consistency that I do not change the rules at least a little bit. But I think that this game is 100% worth the purchase if you backed it on Kickstarter, which, I mean, I feel terrible. We didn't really say this at the beginning, but this game has not come out yet. I kickstarted it, and this is like a beta version kind of the game. And like, for where it's at, it is fucking great. It is very fun. It is very exciting. Is there things that can be fixed or changed or updated? Absolutely. If it comes out the way it is now, it is still 100% worth picking it up, playing it, just having the book on your shelf. It's worth that. It's worth it in the art in itself. It's, you know, when someone walks over and sees Eat the Reich, what? You're like, Yeah, it's really fun. So yes, my overall final opinion is yes, it's worth buying. Yes, it's worth playing. And yes, I want to play it again. We played it in one night, and it is meant to be played in like multiple sessions. So like maybe sector one, sector two, and sector three could be three separate sessions. That might be fun or interesting to play it that way. But we sat through and just powered through it. And so we went through the whole entire thing in one night. So, I would be interested in seeing how it plays, multi-session. I don't know. Maybe we should play Sam. You want to play Eat the Reich?
What kind of question is that? Is this the easiest game to learn? No, but it's like 70 something pages. The rules are there. There are pre-gen, so you can just get going fairly quickly and smoothly enough. And there are very, very few barriers I am not willing to overcome in exchange for gratuitous violence against those who are oppressively, gratuitously violent. I'm very much looking forward to playing Eat the Reich now that I have met it.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to cut this next section out and put it up on Ko-fi. So if you want to hear more about it, you should do that. I didn't tell Sam I was going to do this because I just thought of this right now. Mm-hmm. But Sam, anyways, if you watched that, it's because you support us on Ko-fi, and thank you. If you did not watch that,
joining us in the spoilers corner.
Yeah. Seriously. And so we're going to, yeah, I have nothing more to say about this, how much I love this game.
But we want to know your thoughts as well. If you enjoyed today's episode, give us a like and subscribe, and let us know if you are going to join the Vampire Soldiers of 1943 in the comments below. You can also catch us on Twitch, on twitch.tv/althaven_, where we stream RPG content. You can join the conversation on our Althaven Discord, and if you want to support us and maybe get a peek into the spoilers corner, you can do so on ko-fi.com/althaven. Go wreak some havoc on the Havoc Engine. And until next time, keep it weird, Internet.